have finished number one, that is just the consciousness. It's mind consciousness. And we have already studied how this consciousness operates. Now we come to second ultimate truth. That is mental factor, Chetantika. And you turn to page 61. My book, page 61. The introduction of mental factor. Consciousness cannot arise alone, but must arise accompanied by or associated with mental factors, which are the second ultimate reality. Mental factors cannot arise separated from consciousness. The relationship between the association relation, sambayuta pachayo, according to the sakhana, the method of conditional relation. Although both function interdependently, consciousness is to be the forerunner of the mental factors, because mental factors exist in the cognition of the object, depending upon consciousness. The combination of both is called mind, or nama in Pali. They are called nama in Pali because of their bending towards the object. The relationship between consciousness and mental factors is compared to a king and his minister. When a king travels, he does not travel alone, but he always travels accompanied by ministers. Similarly, whenever a consciousness arises, it never arises alone, but always accompanied by its association of mental factors. Although the function of consciousness is to be a forerunner of the mental factors, the characteristic of consciousness is just pure awareness of an object. It cannot by itself be good or evil. It becomes good or evil depending on the associated mental factors. Therefore, to cultivate good and avoid all evil, it is essential to study the different types of mental factors and their characteristics. Like consciousness, mental factors also arise, perform their specific functions, and perish at tremendous speed with consciousness. And mental factors have four characteristics. Mental factors arise together with consciousness. Let's say this eye-door cognitive process. In the seventh jhana stage, for example, the eye-door cognitive process, all this consciousness taking visible object as object. Suppose that this person delights in the visible object. So consciousness rooted in greed arrives seven times in the jhana stage. So the associated mental factor also arrives together with this consciousness rooted in greed. So in consciousness rooted in greed, there are 19 mental factors arise together with consciousness rooted in greed. So this is the one characteristic of mental factors, arise together with consciousness. Then the second characteristic is received together with consciousness. So when this 19 mental factors arise together with consciousness rooted in greed, then they cease together with consciousness. Then another consciousness arises, becomes associated with 19 mental factors, then cease together. And the third characteristic is mental factor take the same object as consciousness. Suppose jhana takes what object? Takes visible object. Then the associated 19 mental factors also take the ten visible objects. Number four, has the same base as consciousness. This jhana consciousness, rooted in greed, arise depend on base. No consciousness can arise without depend on base, except in material world where there's no materialism. So the jhana consciousness, consciousness arise depend on heart base. The heart base is situated in the blood of the heart. It's not the heart itself, but in the blood of the heart. Now there are billions of heart base in the blood of the heart. One consciousness arises only depend on one heart base. So the consciousness here arises depend on heart base, then the associated mental factors also arise depend on the same heart base. So these are the four characteristics of mental factors. Is it clear? Suppose here, I consciousness arises depend on what? I sensibility. I consciousness arises depend on I sensibility. Then I consciousness arises associated with seven mental factors. So this seven mental factors also arise depend on I sensibility. Okay? The rest except I consciousness, the rest of the consciousness arise depend on heart base. So the associated mental factors also arise depend on the same heart base. So these are the four characteristics of mental factors. Arise together with consciousness, cease together with consciousness, take the same object as consciousness, and have the same base as consciousness. Is it clear? Very good. There are 52 major factors in Abhidhamma. And these 52 major factors can be divided into four groups. Number one is called seven universal, six occasional, 14 unwholesome factors, and 25 beautiful factors. Now let us study what are the seven universes. Number one is contact, tapa. Number two, feeling, vedana. Number three, perception, sanya. Number four, volition, cetana. Number five, one-pointedness, ekadasa. And number six, life faculty, sivitindriya. Number seven, attention, manasikara. So what is contact? Tapa. To understand all these ultimate truths, to understand ultimate truths, there are four devices to explain ultimate truth according to its characteristics, function, manifestation, and proximate cause. So the characteristic of contact is touching. Its function is impingement, causes the consciousness and the object to impinge. For example, for the eye consciousness to arise, you need a visible object. And this, the function of contact is to cause the eye consciousness and the visible object to impinge, so that I consciousness can arise perform the function of being. And the manifestation of context is an occurrence of consciousness, sense, sensitivity, and object. And context is a mental state. We do the context right now. I touch the table here. You may think it's a physical contact. Actually, it's a mental state. For example, when you see somebody eat like a lemon, do you feel your saliva also flowing in your mouth? That's called contact. recommended context. So it doesn't mean that that object must come connected to my physical body. It doesn't mean that. Even far away. For a teenage person, very afraid of ghosts. The moment we hear about ghosts, her body trembles. This also causes infection. So it's a mental state. Without contact, no cognitive process will occur. So contact is very important here. So to explain again, contact. Let's say that six sense objects are come to contact with six sense things. Six sense places. What are six sense places? I is not I itself. It's an I sensitivity. So I, if you say I is not correct, the blind person also has I, but no I sensitivity. So Abhidhamma is very accurate. I, so six sense spaces are I sensitivity, hearing sensitivity, no sensitivity, sensitivity, body sensitivity, and mental. Mental is actually is not mental. Heart-based. So when six sense objects come to contact with six sense spaces, then six types of consciousness arise. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and other mental consciousness. And the conjunction of these three, six sense objects, six sense spaces, and the consciousness, the conjunction of these three is called contact. Is it clear to you? Now we come to number two, feeling, Vedana. The characteristic of feeling is the in-self. The function is enjoys or experiences the taste of the object. When you eat something, you experience the good taste of the food. So is it you experience the taste or the feeling experience the taste?
Feeling.
So to say I is wrong view. You say it's mental factor of feeling, the function of mental factor of feeling is to experience the taste of the food. So this feeling is very important. We always think that feeling is I. That's why the wrong view comes about. And the manifestation of feeling is releasing of the associated mental state. So there are three types of feeling. Number one is called joy or pleasant feeling. Sukha Vedana. Number two, is it joy or pleasant feeling? Enjoy or experience the desirable aspect of the object. It's not you experience, but the feeling experience the desirable aspect of the object. And what is pleasant feeling? The second one is unpleasant feeling, dukkha vedana. This unpleasant feeling, and we cannot say enjoy or experience, experiences the undesirable aspect of the object. It's not you, it's mental factor of feeling, experience the undesirable aspect of the object. And the third type of feeling is neutral feeling, upekkha vedana. In some objects in which the tastes are neutral or not evenly good or bad, the feeling that enjoys or experiences that taste is called neutral feeling. So among 52 mental factors, feeling, the mental factor of feeling, fully enjoy the taste of the object. Apart from the mental factors of feeling, which enjoys the desirable and undesirable of objects, there's no I, he, or within to enjoy the taste of the object. Now we come to number four, perception, sanya. The characteristic of perception is perceiving the quality of the object. I want you to read this book. Page 64. Perception perceives the qualities of the object and makes a sign or mark as a condition to persist against that this thing, or recognizing what has previously been perceived. For example, for the first time, when one sees birds, one makes a sign or mark that birds have wings and fly in the sky. So the wings and flying in the sky become conditions for recognizing a bird when one sees a bird again. This is the function of perception, is to make a sign or mark as a condition to perceive again that it is the same, or recognizing what has previously been perceived. Because of this perception, you can recognize things which you have previously perceived. Without perception, you cannot recognize. And the manifestation of perception is the interpreting of the object by way of the pictures that have been presented. For example, the blind man. How can he recognize that answer? He touched. Then next time he touches it again, then you recognize this elephant. So the manifestation is of perception is to interpret of the object by way of its spatial picture. And perception, although by the help of perception we can recognize things, but the perception also sometimes takes wrong to be right. Owing to distorted perception, sanya vipalasa, the human beings perceive all formations to be permanent, satisfactory, and of a self, which contradicts what the noble one perceives as impermanent, unsatisfactory, and non-self. Once the phenomena is perceived wrongly and is deeply imprinted in the mind, it becomes difficult to correct. Thus, the perception, sanya, becomes one of the factors for prolonging the cycle of repeated birth, samsara. But I have tell you the story. When you see a thesis, you feel distraught. But for a dog, when a dog sees thesis, to him, this species is not undesirable. Why? Because of its distorted perception. And when you enjoy something, when you eat something, you perceive the taste is good. And you perceive, you always think this taste is permanent. And you think that you perceive its eye because we cannot penetrate into ultimate source with concentration and wisdom. So you think its eye enjoy this sweet taste, and this sweet taste always permanent, never change. So once you have perceived it wrongly, this idea very deeply imprinted in your mind, it becomes very difficult to change. Now, just like Americans, I have told you, long time they have been perceiving the body is beautiful. So now you teach them the reconciliation of the 32 parts of the body. They say no. Not this meditation subject. Not this one. So because this perception is very strongly imprinted in your mind already. That perception is also one of the aggregates. Perception aggregates. Because once you perceive wrong, it brings a lot of suffering to you. By a young, there's an example given here. By a young deer, he has seen, this young deer has seen human beings before. So one day, the farmer, in order to frighten the young deer not to come to eat the teddy. So he put a scarecrow in the teddy field with the hand, head, and neck. So when the young deer come again, he see this picture. Because the perception in the young deer's perception, he has been one seeing human being with head, hand, and neck. So that perception imprints in his mind. So once more, now he sees the scarecrow, he thinks that it's the same human being. So he was frightened and ran away. So why you perceive wrongly? So once you perceive wrongly, it imprinted in your mind very deeply. It becomes very difficult to change. Now we come to the next volition. The characteristic of volition is its will. The function of volition is accumulate karma. And the manifestation of volition is coordination. Organizers or urges is associated major factors in acting upon your object. For example, when you are eating something, this volition, urge, or organizers is associated mental factor in acting upon object. This volition urges contact to impinge, to make the tongue consciousness and the taste to impinge. And this volition urges the feeling, the mental factor of feeling to experience the desirable aspect of the object. And this volition also urges perception to perceive the quality of the object. And this volition also urges the greed to arise, to crush the taste. So the function, the manifestation of volition is to organize and adjust the associated mental factors in acting upon the object. Not only that, it itself accumulates karma. Volition itself accumulates karma because it accumulates the karma which is in greed. Thus, the volition has a double task. It accomplishes its own function of accumulating karma, but only when it associates with wholesome and unwholesome consciousness. If volition associates with resultant consciousness, it does not perform the function of accumulating karma. If the volition associates with functional consciousness, it does not perform function of accumulated karma. So volition has two tasks. One, it accumulates karma and urges associated mental factors. What are the associated mental factors? Contact, perception, feeling, greed, and so on. To do their work, to do their own work, just as a senior pupil who not only recites his lesson himself, but urges others to recite theirs as well. And the Buddha says, a bhikkhu, eight volitions that I call karma. For having willed, one performs an action through body, speech, or mind. An example will make clear why we say volition is karma. Samawati, during Buddha's time, there was a queen called Samawati. She was the queen of King Udena. King Udena had three queens. One is Samawati, another one is called Mandandiya. Samawati was Sotapani, and she was foremost in radiating loving kindness to all beings among the lay women with disciples. But another queen, Magandhiya. Magandhiya bear a crutch towards the Buddha. I don't want to tell you all this here because I cannot finish my Abhidhamma. So this Magandhiya bear a crutch towards the Buddha. So she did not lie. Panavati to be a pious devotee of the Lord Buddha. So she planned to kill Panavati. So one day she set the whole palace on fire, and kill the Samavati herself and all 500 followers who served Samavati. So a focus son, full of loving kindness. Why she was killed in such a bad result? Had to meet with such a bad result. Because in one of her past lives, she was the queen of Menara. So one day, she with the same 500 followers went out to have a bath. And feeling very cold, she asked her followers to burn a bush to get some heat. But a Pachita Buddha is inside the bush, entering into Nirodha Samapatti, attainment of cessation. So, in the beginning, Samavati did not realize that the Pachita inside. When she realized it, she thought this Pachita Buddha was burnt already. Actually, anybody who enter into Nirodha Samapatti cannot be burnt. Cannot die in the Nirodha Samapatti. But Samavati did not know. So she thought that Pachita Buddha was burnt and died. So she was very afraid. And in order to cover her mistake, because she didn't want to be blamed by the king for setting, put on the fire without caution. So in order to cover or reiterate her mistake, she asked her followers to correct more grass or dry leaves to burn it again. To burn this Pachita Buddha again. So if in the beginning she did not know that Pachita Buddha inside, so to burn the bush. Is it karma involved? Why? Oh, very good. You understand story, very good. So sometimes story is very helpful to understand. In the beginning, she burned it without any volition to kill Pachita Buddha. So, no volition, no karma. But second time, she knows it's Pachita Buddha. But to cover her own mistake, she burned it again. So the volition is invoked, although Pachita Buddha did not die. But her volition is removed. This happened in the seventh javana, in the seventh javana. And from the second to sixth javana, I have said, it can give result in the second life onward until you attain parinirvana. So even though now, at that present life, during Buddha's time, she was Kodapan. She was burnt to death. No one can escape from that reckoning of bad karma from the second to sixth time. So long you will remain in the realm of the birth. Okay, this volition. Now next. So volition, in the Javana stage, volition is very important. Volition accumulate karma, either rooted in greed or hatred or delusion. Next, one point on the Ekagata. The characteristic of one pointedness is unification of mind, fixes the mind on its object, and is a state of collecting the mind. When you practice anapanasati, why your mind can fix on the object? Why? Maybe you say, oh, my concentration is very good. I can concentrate on this object. It's not your concentration very good. It's the mental factor of one prisoner. The mental factor of one prisoner. Unite the associated mental state to fix your mind on the anapana or the breath or the kapi badan nita. And when this one prisoner develops, it becomes samadhi, it becomes concentration. And this one prisoner is one of the factors of all jhana factors. Either in material jhana or fine material jhana. One prisoner is one of the jhana factors. So the manifestation of one pointedness is key. When you can concentrate well, when your mind can fix on the object well, the mind is in key. The next life faculty, living Driya. The characteristic of life faculty sustains the vitality of the consciousness and mental factors so that they will remain alive and endure for their full life. Otherwise, they will perish before the task of getting or non-get object is complete. Do you understand how this works? Let's say here, Jawanan here. Consciousness rooted in greed, one, and associated with 19 mental factors. And these 19 mental factors, each mental factor perform their own special task. But who sustains the mental factor's life? Life faculty. So the life faculty sustains the life of the mental factors and consciousness so that they can endure and perform their life. Then, after that, can. So this life to the mental factors and consciousness is called life faculty. And the function to make the consciousness and mental factor occur. And manifestation as the establishing of their factors. Only when the mental factors and consciousness it's pleasant that they can perform their work. Just like a lotus flowers are sustained by water. The consciousness and the associated mental factors are sustained by the mental life faculty. So all consciousness and mental factors can function effectively because of the life force of things. Next one, the seventh, the last one, attention, namaskara. The characteristic of attention is conducting the associated mental states towards the object. The function to yoke associated mental states to the object. And the manifestation, face to face with the object. Face to face. And because of power of attention, that one or another object is constantly present in the mind. If you do not pay attention, that visible object cannot appear in your mind. So because of power of attention, that one or another object is constantly present in your mind. So we have already studied all the seven universals. Can you read for me? And this seven universes perform the most basic and essential cognitive function without which the consciousness of an object would be utterly impossible. Without this seven, the consciousness cannot recognize the object. So these are very, very important, very basic perform the very basic connective function. How this seven universal, as I said, each member factor performs its own specific function. We have studied already their function, their characteristics, and their manifestation. Then, now, how this seven universal help consciousness in a connective process? By giving an example, would make the thing clear. For example, during the process of eating, you are eating something. How the context helps? Context helps the consciousness and the object, for example, the sweet taste. Sweet. You are eating the sweet. The context helps the consciousness, unconsciousness, and the sweet taste. The taste to impinge. Then the feeling, experience the sweet, is it desirable or undesirable?
Desirable.
So the feeling experience the desirable aspect of the taste. And the perception perceives the quality of the sweet. So that recognize, make a mark for this sweet. So next time, when you eat again, this perception can recognize this is a sweet taste. Okay. Then the evolution, usually people like sweet. So when you like, it's what? So the volition accumulates karma rooted in greed. Not only that, volition has double karma. It has double task. It also searches or organizes the context to perform its task. Organize feelings to perform its task. Organize the session to perceive the quality of action. Then one vitamin, fix your mind on this eating the sweet. Then life faculty sustain or give life to this seven universe so that they can perform their task. And attention, you must pay attention to this sweet. So this is how seven universes helps the consciousness to perform its specific function. Which one is I? So sometimes when I ask questions, I want to answer you immediately. As I keep on going, now the answer will come to you. So consciousness, so all the mental structures must arise together with consciousness. Consciousness is compared, like a car, like the body of the car. And the mental factors compare to inside the ship, gear, and steering, gas, and brake, and so on. So if a body car without gear, steering, petrol, gas, can move, but if you have gear, steering, petrol, but without body, car, also cannot move. So their function across, they depend on each other. Or with association relation. This seven universal must arise together with all types of consciousness. We have how many types of consciousness? 59. So this seven universal arise together with all 89 types of consciousness, because it performs the most basic and essential cognitive function. Without this seven, consciousness cannot cognize an object. Now we come to six occasions. Number one, initial application of mind, vitakka. Number two, sustained application of mind, vichara. Number three, decision, abhimokha. Number four, energy, virya. Number five, rapture, iti. And number six, desire, chanda. Now we go one by one. Ditangkap. The characteristic of initial application of mind is application of the mind to the object. When you are eating your taste, you must place your mind on the taste. It's called application of the mind to the object. When you practice anapana sati also, you must place your mind on the object. When you place your mind on the object, then the vichara changes. And the function of vitaka is to strike at and search the object. And the manifestation, leaping of the mind onto the object. So this initial application of mind is also one of the factors, one of the jhana factors. Number two, sustained application of mind, vichara. The characteristic of vichara is continuous pleasure on the object. When you eat your sweet, what is placing the mind? The vichara is continuous pleasure on the object, or continuously attend the taste, called vichara. The function of vichara is sustained application of associated mental state on the object. The manifestation, anchoring of associated mental state in the object. Let's say when you practice anapanasati, and the first when you attend the jhana, the vitaka plays the mind. Initial application of mind, place the mind on the object. After placing the mind on the object, vichara anchor the associated mental state into the object, so that it can fix there. So what's the difference between vitaka and vichara? Vitaka is like, in commentary they give an example. Vitaka is like a bee diving towards a flower. The vichara is like bee buzzing to go the flower. So after vichara placed the mind on the object, vichara sustained it repeatedly so that it stays there for some time. So this two become jhana, two of the jhana factors. Number three, decision, abhimukha. The characteristic of decision is conviction. Firm state of mind, free from wavering, which makes a conclusion, just this one. The function is not to group. And the manifestation as decisiveness. This decision is compared to a stone pillar, owing to its unshakable resolve regarding the object. So when you eat the taste, when you eat the sweet, you decide. This is a sweet taste, this is a sweet taste. Not you decide, decision decide. Next, energy, viriya. Characteristic of energy is supporting, exertion and marshalling. The function? To support associated mental state, as an old house stands when supported by new fears. When it comes to meditation, sometimes you feel drowsy, laziness overcome you. First, you sit very straight. When you are overcome by laziness, your body starts to bend forward. So at that moment, if you can put some more energy, then your body will become strict again. So the function is to support associated mental state as an old house stands when supported by new fears. Manifestation, not collapse. Proximate cause. A sense of urgency or ground for the initiation of energy such as birds, OH, and Z. So in order to arouse your energy, you should reflect the danger falling into four woeful states. Why you don't have energy to meditate? You have a lot of energy to do dana, but why you don't have energy to meditate? Some people do dana because they want to be born in the heaven. They don't want to see nirvana yet, not yet. They want to see, they want to enjoy first. After finish all enjoyment, only they want to see nirvana. So they emphasize a lot of dana because they know dana can bring wealth. But why don't you have energy to meditate? Because the proximate cause is very important. The proximate cause. Because you never reflect the danger of birth, old age, death, and the danger of falling into four woeful states. If you attend Kotapanna, the gate of four woeful states closed forever. By the time you can enter without worry. You can enter whatever you want without worry already. So when rightly initiated, energy is to be regarded as the root of all achievement. So Buddha praised very much energy. The next one, joy of rapture. The characteristic is pleasurable interest of mind towards the object of satisfaction. The function is to pervade or to cure with rapture. So when some meditators develop great concentration, they find the whole body is filled with rapture. And whole body becomes very light. Even they feel themselves like sitting in the air. This is a manifestation of joy or rapture. As elation, such as lightness of the body, as if their body were lifted in the air. So don't feel, you should not feel afraid. It's just a manifestation of your joy come from concentration. Without concentration, you cannot feel so light. The next one, desire, chanda. Desire is desire to act or achieve some result. The function is searching for an object. The manifestation as need for an object. Desire is different from greed. Greed is necessary unwholesome consciousness. But desire, it can be wholesome and can be unwholesome. That's what's different from greed. But when this desire is developed to the utmost degree, it becomes one of the four means to accomplishment. Idipada. Now we have four idipada. One of them is chanda. A very good example is the King Dhammasonda. The King Dhammasonda of Venera. During the time of the Tathapa Buddha, when the dispensation of the Tathapa Buddha disappeared. So this king, he has very strong desire to hear through the discourse of Tathapa Buddha. Even though one very short center. But because at that time it's the dispensation of Gautama Buddha already disappeared. So no one can preach him a short center of the teaching of the Buddha. So he was very upset. He was very unhappy. In order to listen one short center of the Buddha, he abandoned his kingdom. Do you have that desire to do that? Now you have listened to how many hours, Dhamma talk. Still want to raise it. So he abandoned the kingdom in order to look for a short center of the teaching of the Buddha. If you have very strong desire for the Dhamma, you can let go a lot of things. You can let go your beloved son and daughter, your beloved wife, your beloved husband, and let go of your beloved property. Just like Prince Siddhartha. Prince Siddhartha, because of his strong desire to find out a way out of the birth, old age, and sickness, that he can abandon his kingdom, abandon his beloved and beautiful wife and newly born son. This was strong desire, Chanda. One of the four means to accomplish. So we have finished six occasions. Can you wait for me?
Conditional expectation of mind, waiting expectation of mind, decision, energy, rapture, desire.
How does six occasions help the consciousness in the act of connection? I continue the process of eating. So the mental factor of initial application of mind plays the associated mental factor on the plate. Just now you are enjoying or eating the food. So the initial application of mind helps the associated mental factor to place the associated mental factor onto the plate. And the mental factor of sustained application of mind sustains the associated mental factor on the taste by letting it examine the taste again and again. And the mental factor of decision decides, this is a good taste, this is a good taste. And the mental factor of energy supports the associated mental factor so they will not collapse or retreat, especially helping the greed to arise. This energy helps the greed to arise. And the mental factor of joy keeps a joyful interest in the taste. And the mental factor of desire is the desire to get the taste or to let the greed arise in this case. So which one is I? Which one is self? No. No, I myself. And these six occasions, the seven universes arise with all types of consciousness. But these six occasions do not arise with all types of consciousness. They only arise with particular types of consciousness. Not with all. For example, initial application of mind cannot arise in the second jhana, cannot arise in the third jhana, fourth jhana, sixth jhana, and so on, or in material jhana. So it cannot arise in all consciousness. And the decision cannot arise with the consciousness rooted in doubt. Yeah. We have 12 types of consciousness, one rooted, accompanied or associated with self. So decision consciousness cannot arise with the mental factor of decision cannot arise with the consciousness associated with self. So for the detail, which mental factor associated with which consciousness, we have to read the book. I have no time to go through all. Now we come to 14 unwholesome factors. This is very important for you. Because of this unwholesome factor, we are born in the four vocal cords and we suffer a lot of bad results. Number one, sorry, 14 unwholesome factors into two groups. Four are unwholesome universes. The 10 are wholesome occasions. When we say it's universal, it means that it accompanies or it associated with all unwholesome consciousness. How many unwholesome consciousness we have? Four. So this four unwholesome universal must accompany with all four unwholesome consciousness. What are the four? Illusion, moha, shamelessness of wrongdoing, ahirika, fearlessness of wrongdoing, anokapa, restlessness, yukta, asuta. And we have another 10, unwholesome occasions. This unwholesome occasions only arise with certain types of unwholesome consciousness. Not arise with all types of unwholesome consciousness. This is called occasions. What are the 10? Greed, robber, wrong view, deceit, conceit, mana, hatred, sota, envy, isa, stinginess, macharia, worry, kupusha, sloth, kina, sober, nida, doubt, nishishicha. Now let us go one by one. Delusion, moha. The characteristic of delusion is blindness. Not physical blindness, mental blindness. The function is to conceal the true nature of an object. What is the true nature of an object? The characteristic is absence of fear about bodily and verbal misconduct. Shamelessness of wrongdoing is absence of shame. The fearlessness of wrongdoing is absence of fear. Do not fear about the consequences. The function, doing evil things. And a manifestation, not shrinking away from evil. What's the problem called? Yes. Lack of respect of others. The next one, recklessness. Utsecha. The characteristic of recklessness is disquiet or of an unsettled state of mind, like water whipped up by the wind. I go very fast because it's easy to understand. The function is unsteadiness, like a flag or banner whipped by the wind. The manifestation as tumoy, like a heap of ashes that flies about ready hit with a stone. The proximal cause, unwise attention to the mental disquiet. So these are the four unwholesome universes. What are the four? You must bear these four in mind because whenever you do unwholesome, these four must be lessened. So what are the four? Of wrongdoing, fearlessness of wrongdoing, and recklessness. For every unwholesome consciousness involves a mental blindness, that's delusion, to the danger in evil. Because you are blind to the danger in evil, that's why you perform unwholesome actions. and also a lack of shame at evil deeds. When you do evil things, because you don't have the shame, you don't have the shamelessness of wrongdoing, and also because you are not afraid of the consequences, that fearlessness of wrongdoing. In the monastery, when you are doing something bad, they have the underlying current of recklessness. So that's for delusion, the shame of shamelessness of wrongdoing, fearlessness of wrongdoing, and recklessness must accompany with all unwholesome actions. Now we go to another 10 unwholesome occasions. Number one is greed. The characteristic of greed is grasping an object. So in our daily life, if your mind grasps at something, you must recognize this is greed. So if you understand the characteristic of unwholesome mental factors, it helps you to aware your mental state, whether you are in greed, in hatred, or in jealousy, and so forth. The function is thick like meat in a hot pan. The manifestation, not wanting to give it up. The proximate cause, is important. Seeing enjoyment in things that lead to bondage. If you see enjoyment in certain things, of course, then you will have grief. If you do not see enjoyment in things, that then the grief will not arise in you. You say seeing enjoyment in things that lead to bondage, an example is a very good example. The ants like sweet, like honey. So one day one ant sees the honey in the bottle. So it tastes, because this you see the enjoyment in the honey. So it tastes it to honey and feel pleasure, a lot of pleasurable feeling. So once you have pleasurable feeling, you want to let go or you want some more? Some more. This is the nature of greed. So this ant feel very has a lot of pleasurable feeling and get very attached to the thing. And you wanting more and more, you go into the bottle. And finally, die in the bottle. That's why, swelling with the current of craving for sensual pleasure and craving for existence, the greed of craving should be regarded as taking beings into the cycle of birth and death. That's why Buddha says craving is the origin of all suffering. Next one, wrong view, deceit. The characteristic of wrong view is unwise interpretation. Or wrongly interpret this person, human being, as I, mine, myself. Called unwise interpretation. The function of wrong view is to presume or seeing wrongly the eternal soul. Only Sotapan can eradicate this wrong view. If we are not Sotapan, we always think this I, this mind, this myself. This is the beginning. And after this, I continue to lie, continue another life. The same person continues. All these are wrong views. Wrong view of eternal soul. The manifestation, wrong interpretation or belief. Believing in the mighty creator of the world, when that man is also wrong view. Christian has very strong belief in creator. believing everything perishes after death, or denying karma and its consequences is also another form of wrong view. There are many types of wrong view, 62 types of wrong view. The major one is wrong view regarding eternal self and wrong view regarding annihilation. These are two main wrong views. Wrong view is rooted in greed or hatred. Wrong view is rooted in greed or hatred. We have eight types of consciousness rooted in greed. Four are associated with wrong view. So wrong view must be rooted in greed. Cannot rooted in anger. Because you interpret what is rooted in greed. You wrongly interpret this five aggregates as I, mine, myself. That's why you develop attachment to this time. This is rooted in greed. Conceit, mana, bana. The characteristic of conceit is haughtiness. The function self-exploitation. And the manifestation is gain glory. Conceit should be regarded as madness. It's rooted in greed. Conceit occurs in the mode of self-evaluation, taking oneself to be superior. Not only that, if you take yourself to be equal to other person, it's also called conceit. If you take yourself to be inferior to others, it's also conceit. So you say that, I did depend on myself. Why should I show this respect to him? This also conceit. So either you take yourself to be superior, equal or inferior, are all considered as conceit. The hatred, characteristic aversion, resentment, irritation, annoyance and anger, all are called hatred, are the characteristics of hatred. The function is to burn up its support or to spread like a drop of poison. Spread very quickly. So when you get very angry, the whole body shakes. So it spreads very quickly to the whole body. The manifestation as persecuting like an animal who has got its chance. I want to take revenge. This hatred is a violent striking of the mind at an object with the destructive elements that burn oneself and others. The Buddha says, anybody who wants to take revenge. Anybody who wants to take revenge is the most stupid person. Suppose you are my enemy. I hate you. So I take out a fireball in order to hit you. So before I hit you, the fireball burns myself. Or I want to take an experiment to hit you. Before the experiment hits you, I get myself the people. So whoever wants to take revenge to the enemy is the most stupid person. That's like the Queen Magandhiya wants to take revenge to the Buddha. Then she also dies. Because she set fire to burn the Queen Samawati and the 500 followers. After that, the king realized, knew that she had set the fire and burned the king's beloved queen. She also burned Mother Leah and her all family and all of them in life. Frustration, depression, stress, all these are under the root of sorrow. So if you feel depressed, it's rooted in sorrow. If you feel stressed, in the West countries, a lot of people have been stressed. It's also the root of sorrow. Dissatisfied with other people's success. The manifestation, aversion towards people's success. So what is the proximate cause? Other success. Envy is rooted in hatred. Because you dissatisfied with other people's success. That's anger, the final anger. Should be regarded as a sector. The stinginess, Macharia, the characteristic is hiding one's own success and achievement. For example, when you have something very good thing, or you are enjoying a very delicious thing, you want to finish it all. But before you finish it, your friend comes in. So if you want to share, you quickly put in the cupboard. This is called hiding one's own property, success or achievement. It's a sign of stinginess. The function, not to bear sharing this with others. If you have some very valuable things in your house, if your friend comes and touch it while you scream, now you cannot bear to share this with others. Because it's a sign of stinginess. The manifestation is meanness or stinginess. The personal cause, one's own success. It also rooted in anger. Because they are not, unable to share, not to bear sharing, not to bear this, a sign of anger, not to bear sharing this with others. It involves resistance to share one's belonging with others. That's why it's put in anger. The next one, worry, kukucha. The characteristic is subsequent regret. The function, to sorrow about what has or what has not been done. The manifestation as remorse. So you sorrow about what has been done. For example, before you become a Buddhist, you may have killed some animals. You may use to tell lies, strangling, reverse talk, or you may use to even to commit sexual misconduct. But now, when you become Buddhist, you know all these are unwholesome, will lead one into reborn in four woeful states. So reflect what you have done previously, you have a lot of remorse. Or what has not been done. Suppose your mother is alive, but when she's alive, you do not try to serve her. Now she passed away. And you know serving the mother is a rich, meritorious thing. So you feel remorse. This is called what has not been done. The proximate cause for the remorse is what has or what has not been done. The word is rooted in anger. Is it remorse good or not?
Good.
Not good. Huh? Why is not good? It itself is unwholesome mental factor. It itself is unwholesome mental factor. If you keep on worried or remorse over what you have done wrong in the past, it becomes a habit in your mental stream. It becomes a habit in your mental stream, you keep on remorse. It will appear, reappear in your mental stream very often. So during your dying moment, it starts remorse appear in your mind. According to the Abhidhamma, the dying moment, the last cognitive process of dying moment is very important. So if you feel remorse at that moment, you pass away, then you will go into, you will be born in the one of the four Bhūta states. Even though you may perform a lot of wholesomeness in this very life, but because of one remorse, can lead you into four Bhūta states. For example, the king, Kosala and Malika, the queen Malika. I have told the queen Malika as the daughter of Garland Maker because she offered the food to the Lord Buddha, it's in the queen at the same day. The king loved her very much and she's very, very intelligent people, very wise, and she's a great supporter of the Lord Buddha. She always help the king to support the Buddha. But one day, she has committed a wrong deed. She has done something bad towards her husband. So after that, she feels very remorseful. I should not do that, I should not do that. So because she keep on remorse the bad deed she had performed during her dying moment, you see, she has offered so many things towards the Buddha, the disciple, the very devoted disciple of the Buddha. Instead of recollecting all the wholesome deeds he has performed, she remorse one bad deed he has done. So at that moment, during her dying moment, she remorse, then she was cast into hell for 7 days. When she was cast into hell, of course, King Kosala did not know. King Kosala said that he was very sad because he loved his queen very much. But he wanted to know, he had confidence that his queen must be reborn in the heaven because see what all the wholesome deeds Malika had performed. But he wanted to make sure. So he wanted to ask the Lord for that. So he went to the monastery and asked the Lord Buddha. And Lord Buddha cannot tell lies. But also cannot tell the truth. Why cannot tell the truth? If the Lord Buddha tell the truth, then King Kosala will lose all his confidence in the triple gem. My wife performed so much wholesome deeds, so much dharma to both Lord Buddha and all arahants. And yet, die and go to hell, what for as a home dharma? So the Lord Buddha cannot tell the truth and cannot tell lies. What to do? So the Lord Buddha is a very skillful teacher. He used psychic power to let the king forget to ask this question. So when the king comes to the monastery, the purpose is to ask this question, but because Lord Buddha using his psychic power, he forgot to ask. Only when he went back home, he remembered. Oh, I forgot to ask. Okay, tomorrow I will go again. So the Lord Buddha used psychic power to let him forget again until seven days, the Malika already escaped from the hell and we born in the heaven. Okay, Lord Buddha says, I don't have to use psychic power. Okay, when the king also remembered, already 7 days, I forgot to ask this question. So he asked the Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha said, your beloved queen already born in heaven. Okay. So King Satakosala very happy. So you see, one remorse will cast you into hell. So in the Theravada teaching, we always encourage people, whatever bad deed you have performed, forget it. Forget it. But you must make resolution not to do it again. This a little bit different from Mahayana. Mahayana was repentance. Repentance may be good, but if you keep on recalling, when you recall, at that time the remorse arises in your mind, and remorse itself is unwholesome and perfect. So if it is unwholesome, of course you keep, you leave behind unwholesome results. Source and proper. So here refer to consciousness. So first here refer to mental factor. The characteristic of law and proper is lack of driving power. The function is to remove energy. And the manifestation is shrinking of the mind. The spontaneous cause unwind attention to bottom, cross, and so on. So these two mental factors make the citta and cetasika dull and sluggish, so cannot arise. And these two belong to the prompted consciousness. We have unprompted and prompted. So if the consciousness is accompanied with prompted, it means these two are involved. Okay, the last one, doubt. The characteristic of doubt is doubting. The function is to favor. The manifestation is indecisiveness. And the proximate cause is unwise attention. So doubt means you are doubting what, you are not believing what ought to be believed. Such as the three trainings, like sila, samadhi, samya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. Or you doubt about the three virtues of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Okay, I think I should make a stop here. Any questions? I will continue. That's all.
Okay.
Under the of Macha, Mia, and Wodish, Kikucha, they are rooted in anger, like right? But how far in the book is rooted in hatred?
Hatred and anger is the same. Anger and hatred is the same.
To worry, you say it's what I've done and what I'm going to do. How about worry about future? What has not come? Is that part of
mental factor? Worry about future. You want to answer? Worry about future is not mentioned in the text. I think worry about future is a type of mental. The worry here, Abhidhamma is very accurate. Here, worry means regret. Regret. You cannot regret about the future. So it's not under this kukucha. Worry about future is not the worry in the Abhidhamma. It's not under the kukucha. So worry about future, I think, is a type of restlessness.
Jhana. I've been made to understand that there is a gain in me to achieve jhana. So I want to know if there is a gain, what is the gain in me for to achieve this jhana. Because gain in me, actually it is very subjective. It is just a person who inspired on the government service at the age of 55. So like my age, I'm 60. So can I achieve jhana if I have the right effort? On another point of view, Dr. Chico is to say that all young people can achieve jhana. So I've been able to understand, so I think it's very confused about this matter. Another question is...
No, one answer, I'm not clear what you say, but I try to answer because the sound is not so clear to me. In Pao Monastery, I have seen some ladies over 70. and can achieve jhana. Now how old are you? It depends on your parami. If you have very good parami in your path, you can, if you put enough effort plus your path parami, you can attend jhana.
But I do not know my path.
How do you? When you come to practice, you know. If you come into practice within very short time or within few months, you can achieve jhana. It means that you have very good parami in your path. If you do not practice, how will you know you have good parami in your path? So you have to start first. Only when you start, then you will know whether you have enough parami or not. Everybody has parami, but enough or not. If not enough, you cultivate more in this life, then it becomes enough for the next life. If you never try it, I have seen 70 years old lady achieve jhana. But you must try it first. If you say I don't have parami, so you never try it. Even though you have parami, but because you do not try, all your parami become wasted.
Just a basic question. If someone has lost his mental ability to understand the things around him, will he be responsible for any good or bad karma that he does, any actions that he does? Like, you know what Buddha talked about when someone sees a butterfly in the sky.
Okay, so whatever karma you do, whether it involves karma or not.
Yeah, so after that, you know, if you don't have the mental ability, after that, would you be responsible for your karma?
If you are insane and when you do something without clear intention, there's no karma. Intention is very important. So if your mental problem, so you do something without real intention, then there's no karma. So it all depends on your intention. If you have the intention, then karma is involved. And why people come to crazy? What is the reason? Because of taking intoxicants in the past. Drink alcohol, wine, or taking intoxicants in the past. If you have taken a lot in the past, this time you may become insane.
Actually, I'm motivated to ask this question because they say that our life is built up of beliefs and goal settings. And then the question dawns on to us that can enlightenment be planned? That means to say that, you know, if within 7 days we have not seen much more, then we go for 7 weeks. No? Then we go for 7 weeks, still cannot see much, huh? Then we go for 7 months more. Then 7 months still cannot, huh? Then we try 7 years. The Buddha said, surely can attain one, is it true?
very difficult to answer. If I say true, everybody wants to fish already. I think it depends on what subject you teach. If that music is very slight, then that may not be so bad karma. If you teach very wrongly, which makes people debate from the past, that is very heavy karma. So if you think, for example, if say Buddha enlightenment passed away 50 years, then you say 55 or 90 years, that's not very it's not very deep mistake. I think it depends on the object you teach. No, sorry, next lecture. Okay. Another three. 1, 4, 5. The chart is correct. The chart is correct. But CH should be replaced with PU. Do you get it? Do you got it? Okay, once more. So the vibrating V, A, N, P, R, A, C, C, N, then PU. So this chart is correct. But the key word, they don't put PU, but they put CH. So please change CH to TU. TU is purification. You got it or not?
Yeah. Okay. Second question. When you be a pretty girl, unwholesome consciousness breaks through. When you be a pretty girl, a beautiful girl, unwholesome consciousness rooted in greed may arise. So you reflect on the 32 parts of the body and is repelled. Even repulsion and wholesome consciousness rooted in anger. So in this situation, aren't you adding to unwholesome consciousness?
This question asked many times by Americans. That's why finally we made a conclusion. Repulsiveness is not a correct word. Because repulsive, you feel that like disgust. Disgust rooted in anger. So I think the word, the mistake is the word. Repulsiveness is not a correct word. You see, these 32 parts of the body are not beautiful. That's all. If you know they are not beautiful, because when we crave for something, we see it, only when we see it's beautiful, then we like it, we love it, we want it. But if you see they are not beautiful, you can be neutral. It's not necessarily you have anger, but you see things as they are, with wisdom. So that one cannot be rooted in anger. I think the repulsiveness is not a good word. So when I tell this one, oh, many arguing, no, repulsiveness is rooted in anger. Then from a Greek change to anger. It's the word, the using of the word. You see them, you see this body as they really are, consists of 32 parts. Then that's rooted in wisdom. It's not rooted in anger.
Based on Abhidhamma, we are made up of citta, cetasika, and rupa. Upon rebirth, what or which part of citta or cetasika that goes to the new life? I understand that in the Milinda Sana, there's an analogy of the transfer of flame from one candle to another and other examples. But can you please provide a clearer or objective answer so that we can understand better?
I have read out already, and this answer will be this question will be fully answered during my last talk tonight, evening 5 to 6:30. I will answer you satisfactorily. Because it takes me 1 hour.
While we Buddhists do not believe in the Creator, and our universal is based on the four elements of earth, wind, water, and fire, one can't help in thinking who creates these four elements and the manifestation of these four elements. While we do not focus on the creator of this universal, but the way the system or universe functions, etc., what does Bhavanga comprise of and what is it in real function?
This question is get the full credit for the strength, the second one you go to the Bhavanga. It's not connected. So if you ask who created this, for example, four elements, the question itself is wrongly put. This type of question during Buddha's time, many people, other sects also ask this question. Is the world eternal, perished away after something? Or when Buddha, you say, when you pass into Nirvana, where you go? All these type of questions have been asked to the Buddha during Buddha's time. And this type of question, Buddha never answered. Because the question itself is wrongly put. Who? In Buddha's sitting, there's no who. There's no I, person, within. So how do you answer? So the question itself is wrongly put. So Buddha never answered this type of question. So how do I answer?
Okay,
the second one is not clear to me.
Okay, what?
I read again. There are 10 days or 20 days of the retreat. This is our retreat. We start with Samatha meditation. And for Samatha meditation, 10 days is not enough. Okay. If you really appreciate meditation, you should try at least 1 month. And in 1 month, you will know the power. 10 days, you cannot know the parami. Unless your parami is so strong, within 3 days, you got a limita, okay, then you can say. But if 10 days, you do not get anything, it doesn't mean that you have no parami. It says that you do not have enough time to practice, to show us that you have enough parami. So try 1 month.
Is it good for beginners as well? For those who have no experience?
Meditation is for everybody.
No more questions.
No, next.
Okay, so I just want to find out the part. You know, like you say, if you go to Samatha, then when do you switch to Samatha?
When you're subject in a Samatha.
After the
stage? After, not necessarily Jana, after Upachara Samadhi. We start with two types, Anapanasati and four elements. Four elements meditation only reach Upachara Samadhi, except concentration, not Jhana concentration. From that, you can speak, to Samadhi. But if you do one, from that you can continue Samadhi. You can continue to Metta, Bhavana, or some other Samadhi meditation. Okay, let's transfer Marit.
Thank you.